So what does everybody think about the first new No Doubt song in 11 years?
I like that. I'm excited to hear them again. Finally.
I've missed them so much.
Yeah.
Push and Shove is the name of the new album that is coming out on September the 25th. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin Amin Show here on a Monday. Alex Clare.
Hi.
You're that guy with the guitar who sings that song. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Lovely to be here. Thank you. That was such a nice
introduction.
Welcome.
Yes, I probably could have worked on that a little
bit
more.
That guy with that guitar that sings that song.
I think that's intimation. That's kind of exactly what I am, though. Okay. So
I mean, when you really boil it down to the basics, that's what's going on here. You're the guy who sings that song, right?
Absolutely.
Alex is a relatively new artist to us here in America, although you've been working in music for a long time. And you are one of the guys who has one of those super interesting stories where you put out a record and it essentially just was met with a colossal yawn from the rest of the world, right?
Pretty much.
Before we talk about how it all turned around for you and why you're sitting here today, tell me what went into making that first record. I mean, were you one of those guys who, from the time you were a little kid, you said, I'm going to grow up and be a rock star, and you put your whole heart and soul and life into getting that record made, and then you just had to watch it all go down the drain?
Pretty much, yeah. I like slept on people's couches and had like literally, I was eating like ramen noodles for like 4 years.
Right. And you were thinking, but it's all going to be worth it.
It's all going to be all right
when I put this album out.
Exactly. Exactly.
How did you go through the process of getting, I mean, at some point you had to have been signed to a label. Somebody had to finance you making that record. Tell me how you did that.
I made a series of demos, which were, you know, they were sort of guitar based, but also very heavily electronic led, with sine wave bass lines. And at the time, record companies were looking for that, and somehow it worked their way into their hands. And, they liked it.
Okay. They liked it. They said, okay, Alex, we're on, let's make a record. Mm-hmm. And then how long did it take you to make the record?
Probably about 6 months to a year.
And what did you think of it when it was done? Did you think
it was a
surefire hit?
You never know, do you? I mean, I never thought it was going to be a surefire hit, but I know that I liked it, and I'm sure a few other people did as well. I think it wasn't so much it was a yawn. It just didn't really get the exposure, you know? If you don't get the radio pluggers in the UK, and if you don't get the syncs and the promotional means, then it just kind of sits there and does nothing.
Regardless of how good it is, that's
exactly
true. There's
that's just the way it is.
There are a lot of people out there with music that don't have any way of getting it to, you know, the masses.
And you could argue that some of the, you know, much of the greatest music being made today is not heard by a mainstream audience.
Absolutely.
And in some ways, I mean, that's one of the great things about the way the internet has balanced it out for music fans is it doesn't have to reach everybody. There can be a million niches, and they're all available to you as long as you can find them, you know, which is nice. So you're a little disappointed because the record doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. And then what happened? What's the magic fairy tale ending to this story?
Suddenly,
then what happened?
Well, I you know, lost my record deal. I'm subsequently scratching my head thinking, what am I going to do with my life? And then suddenly I get a phone call from Bill Gates, not literally. but almost. If I see him, I'm going to kiss him, seriously. And he just, you know, Microsoft decided to use the song for, you know, their spot.
Now, do you know how that happens? Do you know how they discovered it?
Someone there just really liked it. I mean, the album got a little bit of exposure. And someone at the...
Someone latched onto it and said,
they liked it, and they said, hey, can we use your song? And
so they called. Now, you've been dumped from your label, so they called you, and you were like, is this... That's so funny that you say you're from Microsoft. Right? You don't believe it. I can't imagine it, though.
No, you know, you get emails, and, you know, you just kind of say, you smile and nod and just go, yeah, all right, whatever.
Right.
And unfortunately, someone actually, you know, was serious.
That's crazy.
And also what's funny is, I mean, look, you needed the money, and you said this is another way to get exposure for my music as well.
You know,
I'll go ahead and roll the dice.
The sad reality is when you take a major record deal, they give you quite a lot of money, and every bit of money you then make, they kind of go, that's ours now.
We want that.
So I'd love to say I made a fortune out of that, but no.
Isn't that interesting? So that all went back to the label that dumped you.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Wow. But it's one thing to be in a commercial. It's another thing to be in a commercial for Microsoft, for Internet Explorer, which ends up getting played, you know, a million times in every country in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, those guys know how to promote. Now, are you contractually required now to only look up things on Bing.com?
Not quite. Fortunately, they never stipulated that was a condition.
If they find anything other than Internet Explorer 9 on your computer, you're
in
a world
trouble.
Trouble.
Exactly, I am. They're gonna be knocking on my doors.
So we've heard so many stories with people who have had the magic from being in an Apple commercial.
Yeah.
And the same kind of thing happened to you. People saw the spot and they said, whoa, what's this? And then they tracked it down online or used Shazam or something to try to put your name with this track, right?
Shazam killed it. It was actually amazing.
That's the one? That's the one that you got the most from?
The statistics were like 150 million Shazams.
Wow.
I didn't even know 150 million people had Shazam, but they do. And they,
well, I think it's available to anyone, but most people you would think may, might write down some lyrics or something and look it up online, and not everybody knows Shazam, and apparently everybody does know Shazam and use it. So 150 million people find
apparently
out that that's you.
Yeah. Apparently so.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
And now you're rolling in cash.
Still not, but, but we're working on it. We're
now
working on it.
There's a bus right outside. I can just cash bus.
I can now afford like sandwiches as opposed to ramen noodles.
All right. So all right.
I was a little bit nervous. I think Up All Night was the first song of yours I heard, and I don't even remember where I heard it, but I liked it very much. And I didn't put two and two together until one day I was reading an article that mentioned your name, and it said that there was a lot of dubstep in your music, and I thought, well, that sucks. I will never listen to that guy.
Wow.
I hate dubstep, or so I thought, but then when I went out and got your album, it's not like the dubstep record. It's a dubstep influenced record. Would you say that's fair?
I think that's fair, yeah. I mean, the area of London I grew up in was always very big with UK garage and dubstep and drum and bass, and I always kind of wanted to incorporate those elements into a record, but use them more as melody instruments as opposed to just dance records. You know.
So. Yes, that's a great way to phrase it. That's what you've done, is you've taken the best part of dubstep and left the annoying part out, and I appreciate very much that you were able to pull that off.
I dance to dubstep. I just want to say
now. It's very easy to dance to. You just want to sort of nod your head and fight somebody. It's pretty crazy.
Can we all agree that Skrillex needs to get an effing haircut? Can we all say yes to that, though? Come on.
That's something we can
all agree on. Whatever floats his boat, man. If he wants to have the haircut, you know, more power to him.
The album is terrific. It is called Lateness of the Hour. And Alex is one of those guys, by the way, you listen to him, he sounds like a regular Brit. But when you sing, you've got a big, booming voice. Very impressive. Really sounds great. Too Close is the name of the song we've been playing here on K-Rock. And Alex, am I correct that you are going to try to perform that at this redonkulous hour, as you call it, on K-Rock?
I'm going to try my best.
All right, we're going to take a break.
That's fine. I was about to go.
I didn't do that.
That was guitarist interruptus.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was just about to
strike. I was literally about to play it.
So I wanted to stop you because we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back.
Awesome.
And then we'll play it.
Great. Right.
Sorry about that.
Singer-songwriter Alex Clare in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show today. His album is called Lateness of the Hour. It's available everywhere. How many instruments do you play there, Alex?
I play a few. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing.
Guitar, you play guitar, you do some
drumming.
Guitar,
a little bit of trumpet, a little bit of drums, a little bit of keyboards, you know.
Ukulele?
I can play the ukulele, yeah. I can play the spoons as well.
Harmonica.
Oh, I'd love to hear the spoons.
I can play the harmonica,
somebody
yeah.
Somebody get some spoons!
A guy who plays that many instruments is a guy who grew up with no friends. That's my theory.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And before we hear this too close, I saw your video for this. You are smart because you have a very intricate, detailed video with lots of action in it, and you don't have to do any of it,
I know,
right?
It's awesome.
You're basically sitting on a chair singing.
I had to crawl through about 3 foot of 10-year-old pigeon detritus, actually, for that video. It was disgusting.
Hmm.
So I had to do something, and it was bad.
Yes, that
I'm
seems
amazed
bad.
I didn't get botulism, but I'm okay. I came out the other side just fine.
And then you've got guys in like crazy fencing suits and black rubber masks.
I wanted like real samurais, like chopping each other's arms off, but just the budget wouldn't stretch to it, unfortunately.
No, that would have been great. Blood spraying all over the place. Lost some arms.
Yeah.
Now, is there any connection between what's happening in that fencing video and the lyrics of Too Close, or do they not match at all?
I think it's just like conflict, you know. I think that was the whole point. That struggle between two people who were once in love and now have nothing to do but fight.
It's a terrific song, and it's doing gangbusters here at K-Rock. It is called Too Close. Alex Clare is the singer, and he is here on the Kevin Bean Show right now, and you are going to perform that for us now.
I'm going to do it right now.
Love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know I'm not one to break promises. I don't want to hurt you, but I need to breathe. At the end of it all, you're still my best friend. Yet there's something inside that I need to release. Which way is right? Which way is wrong? How do I say that I need to move on? You know we're heading separate ways. And it feels like I am just too close to love you.
There ain't nothing I can really say. No, oh, 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 oh. Can't lie no more, can't hide no more. Got to be true to myself, 'cause it feels like I am just too close to love you. So I'll be on my way. Yeah. So I'll be on my way. You've given me more than I can return. Yet there's oh so much that you deserve. Got nothing to say, got nothing to do, got nothing to give. I must live without you, girl. You know we're heading separate ways. And it feels like I am just too close to love you. There ain't nothing I can really say. Yeah, yeah. Can't lie no more, can't hide no more. Got to be true to myself, 'cause it feels like I am just too close to love you. Yes, it feels like I am just too close to love you. There ain't nothing I can really say. Yeah, yeah. Can't lie no more, can't hide no more. Got to be true to myself, 'cause it feels like I am just too close to love you. So I'll be on my way. Yeah. So I'll be on my way. So I'll be on my way.
Wow. Kids love it.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
That was awesome.
I didn't even know we had that many people in here watching. That's unbelievable. What did I tell you about this guy's voice, though? That's not the same guy, right?
It's funny. You do size people up by the way they look. And you go, okay, this guy can only have this much soul, this much, you know what I mean, this much punk, this much whatever. And you don't fit. That's awesome.
No, because you do look like a regular white guy. And in fact,
yeah,
you're not.
No, just massive beard and hat, and that's kind of it. Yeah,
that was great. And this is the beautiful thing. This is how you can tell an artist. And I'm not just trying to compliment you because you're sitting in the room, but I mean, that song has so much production value to it that it's easy to get lost in it and go, eh, it's a dance song. Of course, it's true. Good because listen to everything that's going on. But when you strip all of that away and it's just guy with a guitar and it still is compelling, that means you got yourself a great song.
Sure.
That is terrific stuff. Too Close is the name of the song. The album is packed with them. It is called Lateness of the Hour. Alex Clare has been our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, you're not performing or anything while you're through here. This is just promotion. What are the plans? When can people see you live? Do you know?
I think at the end of the month, we're playing in San Fran and in Seattle.
very useful information for our listeners.
However, I'm sure there will be some LA dates coming soon.
Really great. Excellent. Keep in touch, Alex, man. So nice to meet you. Thank you.
Let's get into the bit that we like to call
Tweet
Bean. Poor Chip. Why do we do this, by the way?
Why do we do this?
You insist.
Why do you do it? Can we ask that? Why do you do it?
That's like saying you're a dog and you're pooping all over the house and we get upset. And you go, why do you get upset that I poop all over the house?
You like feces?
Right. You force us.
But
our hand is forced, sir.
But my Twitter is out there. If anybody wants to read it, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. Why bring
trying
it on
to help to the- you, man. Trying to help you.
It's like a guy going to a shopping mall and just shooting a gun saying, hey, my bullets are out there. If you want to stand in front of them, that's up to you. But I'm firing them.
All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter.
No! Don't do it.
That's not the point.
Let's find out if you want to. What do you have for today?
That's right. Tweet.
I don't actually like you in real life, so stop asking me to like you on Facebook.
Okay.
Hold on.
What? We don't need clarification.
But
we understand
you
what you mean.
Now,
right. We understand
like
all of this.
So
you
go to the dry
cleaner and they want you to like them on Facebook. We know.
And I'm tired of liking people on Facebook or being asked to.
Right. But here's the point. We all got it when your voice said it. So we don't need further clarification.
Okay, I just thought that was...
Did not expect to overhear this at the counter at Denny's in Tacoma. You better read up on the French and Indian War before you say that.
That's that tweet.
Bing!
Do we need reports from Denny's now? Really?
No. That was a thing that a guy said that was a big surprise to me.
Really? Because we didn't get that from your tweet.
It may have surprised you, but we don't care. We don't need to have a report from Denny's counter, what they're talking about. Hey, Jim, what are they talking about over at Denny's counter? I know, it's going to Bean Baxter with the update.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
The reason you don't hear that on the news.
Truth is, life isn't always fair. Sometimes you get to be Lady Sybil, but sometimes you are Lavinia instead.
Holy
wow. That's that tweet.
Bean!
Lisa, you're with me on that, right?
I totally got the reference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She watches the damn show.
And that's where I checked out.
Yeah.
So wow, she...
I don't even have Lisa on a Downton Abbey tweet. I don't even get Lisa.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
If I were George Michael, I would be slowing my roll right about now.
And then there was hashtag Michael Jackson, hashtag Whitney Houston, because the 80s stars were dropping dead. That was the point of that one. He's still standing.
That's that tweet.
Bing!
Is this thing on?
Unfortunately, yes.
Man.
I hope aliens don't judge our film industry by the Super Bowl movie ads. The Avengers, G.I. Joe, John Carter, Battleship, no thanks.
Wow, you're just bad on every level.
That's that tweet.
Bing!
From the guy who never goes to the movies, by the way. Never.
When I watch Ann Curry on the Today Show, I like to imagine she can see me, too. I wave to her and show her things.
Oh, man. Are you joking?
I'm standing by that.
That's that tweet.
Bing!
Creepiest tweet ever.
Really?
And Ann Curry is so hot.
Right, she's we so understand, hot. Bean. We
but
get
I love
it.
Her. What?
We get that you love her and you think she's hot. We're saying your tweet creeps us out.
The idea of you waving your penis at the TV screen when the Today Show is on is not appealing.
Oh, you thought I meant... Oh, no, I wasn't talking about
sure,
those
no.
things.
Right.
No.
Right.
No! How about you remove card quickly?
Come on.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
You've had it with ATMs, have you, Bean? Gas stations. You
gas
buy
stations.
The damn gas, you
right,
put
got
your
it.
Card
that's
in.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
Orders you to remove
it says,
your
pull
card.
It out right.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh. Tired of it.
Oh.
But all of us have had to do that. You know what we do? We just pull out the card.
Really? Yeah, you don't take time out of your day to tweet that to the world?
That's that tweet.
Bing!
Look, we're out of time.
I'm out of patience.
Got to talk about Morrissey again for a second. You know, it's really been interesting to see the reaction to the announcement that we talked about a week or so ago about how he's retiring at 53 years old. He's going to walk away from it all in a couple of years because he says he's too old. Says he just doesn't feel like he can pull it off anymore because... Whoever retires from rock and roll?
No one. They keep
you never
singing.
See that, right?
Yeah.
They either just, you know, lose their record deal but still are out there playing state fairs or something like that, or they basically die as a musician. You just almost never see this. But there's been a lot of reaction to Morrissey's announcement. A lot of very, very sad people, including those in the K-Rock audience. And our friend Rudy is on the phone, and he's going to tell us how it has been affecting him in the neighborhood. Hey, Rudy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Oh, damn. What's up, dog? You know what I'm saying?
Long time no talk.
Yeah, I let go. I've been trying to keep a low profile, you know, stay out of trouble, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, because, like, I got a new gig, like, working for the city. You okay. know what I'm saying? Cause, like,
you got hired by
parole,
the city?
Yeah, like, my parole officer, like, said, like, if I do 2 years, no felonies or whatever, it's like, he could get me a job with the state or the city, you know what I'm saying?
That's great.
So I got my Caltrans on, you know. So, like, I've been trying to stay, like, under wraps. No Dodger games, no nothing.
Wow,
just had to
wow.
pop some domes out or whatever. So, like, you know. I've just been, like, you know, chilling at the pad, you know, maybe a little Yeska here and there, fool. But, like,
what's
Morrissey's, like, dumb, whatever, dog, you know? Because, like, he quit. It's stupid, man. Like, you
he's,
know?
He's going to quit in a year or two.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Okay. But I mean, he's, imagine he's, I know he's very popular with the Hispanic community. I imagine it was big news probably in the neighborhood, right?
Dog, there's like a line around the door at every tattoo parlor in all of East Los because like all these vatos are crying, whatever. They want to get a tattoo. R.I.P. Morrissey.
Right.
You know, like pictures.
Well, he's not dead.
He's not dying.
No, he's dead, dog. He gave up.
He's not dead.
Like, to me, if he's not making more jams, you know, he's dead.
I see.
And then like, you know, for me, like, I'm more of a slow jams guy, like, you know, the Drifters or, like,
sure.
the Platters or
right,
whatever,
right.
you know, the Rolls Royce Heat Wave, you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
But, like, my Jaina, sad girl, she's literally sad.
Oh, no, we don't want to see sad girl sad.
Sad girl's literally sad, fool, like, because she has, like, these tattoos of teardrops, fool, you know what I'm saying, on her ojos.
Right, right.
But now they're, like, real tears all welling up in her dome, you know what I'm saying? So she got wet dome.
So she's been taking it pretty tough, and that's probably been hard on you at home, I imagine,
oh,
right?
Man, like, I ain't getting no love. I get no love. I can't knock the boots at night, you know what I'm saying? Like, she won't cook me nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Do you want us
TV
to talk
dinners
to her?
For, like, 4 nights now because Morrissey won't make no more music in a couple of years. Stupid, dog.
That's not fair. That's not fair to you. We will talk to her. Kevin made the offer. We'll be happy to talk to her if you want. I mean, if she's around. I don't know if she's...
You guys think you could cheer her up or whatever?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we could.
Hey! Zacko!
Oh, come on. Don't scream at her, Rudy.
Hey,
Rudy.
He's probably trying to wake her up.
Hey, put Rudy Jr. down, dog. Hey, Kevin, if you want to talk to you, ain't
he? He has a kid?
Rudy Jr.? I didn't even know about Rudy Cisneros Jr.
Hello?
Sad girl?
Damn. Good morning. Oh, stupid.
Listen, we were talking to your man, and he says that it's been very, very sad around there, even more so than usual because of the Morrissey news. You're taking it pretty hard.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah.
Scandalous. No more Morrissey, stupid. Mira.
But that can't be the most important thing in your life. You still got to go on. You still got to treat your man right. You still got to cook for him and take care of the baby. You can't just lay in the bed and be depressed all day.
I mean, damn. I have other good stuff. Like, I mean, my kids.
Yeah.
And my eyebrow pencils. And,
right.
And
that's it?
And my hair sprays.
Right. Hey, sad girl.
Damn.
Hey, sad girl. We have sad girl.
Hold
Who's
on.
There with you? Who
Stop
else is in the house with you?
Oh, all the homeboys are here crying. There's Bum and Donut and Lester and Listo.
I'm sorry, did you say Lester?
It's Lester in your house?
And the one white boy, Peckerwood.
Right.
And Popeye. And,
okay.
And
Sad Girl.
Lil Maniac number 4.
Sad
and
Girl.
Trigger. And Loopy.
Sad
and
Girl.
Side Salad.
Side Salad. All right, listen. Sad Girl, we have a surprise for you. I think... As soon as you get it together, we're going to hook up.
You might want to wait on the surprise. I think he's laughing too hard.
How do you know? You don't even know what the surprise is.
Know.
How do you know the surprise?
China intuition, fool. My hair's crispy and my brain's all tight and stupid.
Sad girl, we knew how upset you were, and Rudy told us how upset you were about Morrissey retiring. We thought you might feel better if you got a chance to talk to Morrissey yourself. So we've arranged yes. We
that.
Have him on the phone right now. Morrissey, are you there, sir?
I'm retiring. Oh. Hello, Kevin Medina, how are you?
Well, we're good. Say hi to Sad Girl, if you would.
I'm sorry, who?
Sad Girl.
Sad Girl.
Sad
She's
girl?
A big fan of yours. She's very upset.
Is that someone's name? Sad Girl?
That's mm-hmm. me. Is this really Morrissey?
Yes, this is Morrissey, Sad Girl. How are you?
Oh, damn. Stupid. Scandalous, Morrissey.
See? Cheered her right up.
I love you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, damn, Morrissey. I got a tattoo of you.
You have a tattoo of me?
I do. So dope, eh? You're dressed like you play for the Dodgers, and it's right above my panocha.
What position do I play?
You don't actually play for the Dodgers, Morrissey.
Well, with my panocha, it's not shortstop. Ah, mira!
Rita, that's my joke's crazy in my brain.
Morrissey, we only have a minute here, but if you could just tell Sad Girl that it's going to be okay, even with you retiring from music, it's no reason for her to give up on her life.
No, absolutely not. Just because I'm retiring, there's no reason to be sad,
okay,
Sad Girl.
Good. Sad Girl?
You should be sad because we're all going to die soon because the Syrian government will probably bomb us.
Or the flesh-eating
virus will probably eat our skin. It's only a matter of time before there's a nuclear holocaust that burns us to cinder.
Morrissey, we were hoping you could cheer up, Sad Girl.
The bees are dying. There's no more honey,
right.
First of all.
No more honey?
No more honey.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. there's a lot of reasons to be sad, Sad Girl, but me not making music anymore isn't one of them.
Oh, man. I thought I was sad because my Aunt Rosalind died. But damn, if there's no more honey, what am I going to do, fool? Because, like...
I think she's forgotten about the whole Morrissey thing already.
I used to put honey on my tortillas in the morning and wash it down with some horchata.
I don't think
this works. We actually have to go. Morrissey,
I named my third kid Honey.
Okay. Thank you, Morrissey. Thank you, Sad Girl.
Cheer up, Sad Girl. It could be worse.
How?
How could it be worse,
fool? You could be Kevin the Bean.
Scandal!
Not a lot of people left around.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 7.
So much show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including actor Colin Hanks will be here. Also, Jeffrey Dean Morgan on the program talking about Magic City. We'll get your tips on a zombie escape plan, which, by the way, I think everyone listening should have their zombie escape plan in motion the way the news has been lately. All of that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we could not be more delighted to welcome back to the program a guy we haven't talked to in a couple of years, Sugar Ray Leonard, one of America's all-time greatest boxers, out with a new book now called The Big Fight, My Life in and Out of the Ring. Hey, Ray, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine. Has it been that long?
It's been a while. Been a while since we talked to you. I have two things to get going right out of the gate. And the first is I need to hear about this deal with the devil you made. We were talking about you earlier today. How is it you haven't aged a day in like 30 years? I mean, I know black don't crack and all that, but seriously, you're ridiculous that you still look the same. What's the deal?
I think it's attitude. I think that helps.
Yeah.
I think having grandkids help.
You're a grandpa?
I have four grandkids.
You're still 22.
I don't know about the joints, but for the most part.
That pretty face has never looked better than it does right now.
One of the things I was fascinated with was the fact that you were a Muhammad Ali fan, and from him you got the, I need to make sure that the moneymaker, the face, doesn't get messed up. Like, that was a big deal, and you were aggressively trying to avoid that, right?
You know, Muhammad was my idol without question. Still is my idol. I just looked up to him as the perfect role model, the perfect mold to perfect. I mean, he was just the guy, because he wasn't just a boxer. He was, you know, poet. He was, he was technician. He was all those things.
Mm-hmm. And you guys had the same trainer, too, a man who just passed away this year, right?
Yeah, Angelo Dundee. I mean, Angelo Dundee was such an asset to my career. And his value wasn't training. His value was saying the right thing at the right time in the corner, being not stressed out, but knowing exactly what to say to me or to Muhammad or to the fighter.
Yeah.
That was priceless.
Is it true when you were coming up, when you were growing up, of course, race relations were at an all-time low, I would say, and you actually took, not classes, but training in how to deal with interviews and how to, you know, how to talk so that it made sense so that you could have a life after boxing?
Well, that was real way back in the early 70s when things were not as, you know, nice as they are, I should say. But, no, I took classes, not really classes per se, but this guy who I work for, Roland Kenner, had Derek Holmes, who was a good friend of mine, boxer. He said, you know, you guys have to separate yourselves from the other fighters. You got to know how to speak, what to say, how to answer, how to pause. And we had probably maybe a good week or two of those drills, and it proved to be correct.
Well, there's hardly a professional athlete in the world today who doesn't get media training. I mean, that just kind of goes with the territory, but that must have been the early days of it.
Oh, without question. It didn't exist back then.
I was fascinated to read, Ray, how you planned on retiring from boxing after you won your Olympic gold medal. It was not a career that you thought, but that you had trouble finding else something else that you either could do or people would let you do or that you were passionate about and decided to get back into it, right?
Well, yeah, because when I won the gold medal in Montreal and the Olympics, it was kind of bittersweet because I knew that was my last fight because I was going to go to the University of Maryland to further my education, get a good job. Because I didn't want to be one of those boxers because I've heard so many horrible stories about these guys, you know, making all this money. And then when it's all said and done, they're broke, they're on the street, they're homeless. I just didn't want that to happen to me. And plus my hands were pretty fragile. But my dad got was sick. We had no money. And the fastest way we could make money was boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to boxing.
Talking to Sugar Ray Leonard about his book, The Big Fight, My Life in and Out of the Ring. Have I seen you at UFC fights? I have, haven't I?
Yes, yes.
You love it? Like it?
Love it.
Wait, love it?
I love it.
Could you have ever done that?
I don't think so.
Really?
too many disciplines? Is that why?
I just don't think that was my thing. You know, it's one of those things.
Does it make you sad as a lifelong boxing fan to see the decline in interest in the sport from most sports fans these days with the rise of things like USC?
Without question. I mean, because, you know, boxing is my life. It was my life. It enabled me to be in the position that I am. And now, you know, it's just – but boxing is resilient, and there are always another young Ray or another young Muhammad around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And you, as I understand, you know Floyd Mayweather a little bit, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, why doesn't he, why can't you get him to fight Pacquiao then? Why can't he look up to you and go, hey, you're a legend, you're telling me I should do it, I'm going to do it? Because you speak for so many people when you say he's going to regret for the rest of his life if he doesn't.
I really don't know. I don't think anyone knows except, you know, Mayweather's camp or Pacquiao's camp. But, you know, from a fight fan perspective,
yeah,
that's a fight that is needed or wanted so bad. Will it save boxing? Not necessarily. One fight won't save boxing, but it will indeed be one of those moments in history.
Right. Well, we know you got to go, unfortunately. We never have enough time with you. But Sugar Ray Leonard, the book is The Big Fight, My Life in and Out of the Ring. I'm not really a reader. I don't read, but this is fascinating.
you've had an extraordinary life, Ray. Man, I thank you so much for taking the time to not only put that down on paper, but come on the Kevin and Bean Show and talk to us about it today.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
All right, here's a topic I've been dying to get to for the last couple of weeks since Ralph broke this story. As you know, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel have been engaged for some time, and they're going to be married. According to one report in Star Magazine, there's a little bit of a fight, though, about the wedding, because Justin Timberlake would like to invite his ex-girlfriend and still very close friend, Cameron Diaz, to the wedding. According to this report, and I don't know if it's true or not, Jessica Biel is putting her foot down and saying, no, you can't invite Cameron Diaz to the wedding. She's an ex-girlfriend. It's not appropriate. I'm putting words in her mouth, but I'm assuming this is what she's saying. I don't want her to be there. It's my day. Blah, 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 blah.
Red flag, first of all.
Blah, 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 blah. I sense prejudice here.
Well, Bean is anti-woman. You know that.
I do.
No. I'm saying blah, 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 meaning she may have other reasons that are not in this article of why she's saying it, but my impression is that she feels like they're an ex-girlfriend, somebody that you're still friends with, doesn't have any place at the wedding. And yeah, Lisa, I don't understand that way I'm thinking, because hasn't she already won at this point? Hasn't Justin Timberlake already broken up with Cameron Diaz years ago and has chosen her and is marrying her? It's not like there's a competition anymore between these girls and Justin,
there's
right?
There's always a competition between girls.
Hasn't she already won? I don't think she's looking at it as a win or a loss. I think it depends on her relationship with Cameron. If it's not good, if they're not friends, then that might be uncomfortable for her. And why should she be uncomfortable on her wedding day? If they're friends, then there's no problem, obviously.
All right,
I think if there's an issue, then you need to respect
that question. Because it's not just her wedding day. Because it's also her groom's wedding day. And doesn't he have the right to have
That's funny.
Right? Is that how crazy is Bean?
Doesn't he have the right to have people he considers friends that he would like to stand up for him on his big day at the ceremony also?
I'm guessing she would be fine with all that weren't in bed with him.
Yes, I agree.
Look, so what? Jessica Biel doesn't believe that Justin Timberlake can just be friends with an ex-girlfriend, that somebody, he couldn't have developed a friendly relationship with this woman after they broke up, and that might not be it's a legitimate friendship by all accounts.
It might be as simple as she doesn't want it to be an issue for anyone. She doesn't want it discussed. Oh, did you see Cameron's here? Oh, that's
maybe.
Really weird. Wow, what's going on?
So in other words, she's going to marry this guy, and she's going to say, yeah, I'll walk down the aisle with you, but I, before we even get married, I'm going to start determining who you can be friends with and who you can invite to functions.
No, I look at it as when you get married, you have to compromise. Both sides have to compromise, and this is a pretty reasonable compromise for your wedding day.
I'm guessing that most girls would see it this way.
Most girls are that bad?
It's not bad. I'm just guessing that, and I'm guessing. I don't have any idea. We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. This is a former lover.
Right.
I mean, you painted it up with such a broad stroke, like she's going to tell him who he can be friends with. No, but do you want somebody that used to be his ex-girlfriend at your wedding?
And they dated a long time, right?
And they're still good friends. And
in the article,
it doesn't say anything about her forbidding him to be friends with her. Just
I know. We're
not.
I know. And I'm not suggesting that. But I am saying that it's also his wedding day. And if Cameron Diaz is a close friend of hers, which by all accounts she is, he should be allowed to invite a close friend to the wedding. It's again, there's not a competition anymore.
But I think that's a special day. And on a special day, you both compromise and make sure the other one is comfortable.
I, first of all, love women. Bean hates them.
I don't. But I am
going to say that I find it cute that you say it's his day too.
I don't hate women, but it isn't.
It's what I remember, and I'm guaranteeing you she put a lot more thought and effort into this wedding than he did, too.
I would be more impressed if she had a little dignity and if she had a little confidence in the fact that she's the bride, the focus is going to be on her, and if he wants his friends at the wedding, that's not that much to ask. He's not saying, hey, invite her to the wedding, and then I insist on a threesome that night. He's not trying to bang her at the reception. He just wants her to be there because they're friends.
Maybe she'd say yes for the threesome.
She doesn't want to be uncomfortable. I don't think that's too much to ask.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Should Justin Timberlake be allowed to invite his friend Cameron Diaz to the wedding if it makes his new bride, Jessica Biel, uncomfortable? That's the question. Your call is next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes. Right now we're talking about the story out of Star Magazine that says that Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake are planning their wedding. And the hitch is that Justin Timberlake would like to invite his ex-girlfriend and close friend Cameron Diaz to the ceremony. Jessica Biel says no, says I don't want your ex-girlfriend there. Now, Lisa, you were saying, of course, there's a lot in this article that we're all suspecting. You were saying that you think maybe there's what, some bad blood between the two girls, and that's what's going on?
It's possible they're not friends. They don't really get along. There could have been some snarky comments back and forth. I mean, it might not be as simple as he used to date Justin, and so that's why he can't come.
We're taking your calls on it at 1-800-520-1067. My opinion is you're already the bride. If it's important to the man that you are marrying to have a friend of his there, then you can just be courteous for a couple of hours to that person. Even if you're not good friends with that person, let your husband have a friend. That's what I'm saying.
I can see that. Do you think that the celebrity factor matters? Is it?
Yeah, I think it might. Meaning that the
tabloids will trump it up or something like that?
That there's more talk than there is at your or my wedding. No one cares. But if you're Justin Timberlake, all of a sudden everybody cares and they're watching closely.
All right, let's get as many calls as we can. We got some great ones on the line. Let's start with Gina. Gina is on line 7. She is first to weigh in, and you can too at 1-800-520-1067. All right, Gina, you get to decide. Is Cameron invited to the wedding? Does she get to come or not?
No, I don't think she should get to come simply because it's Jessica's big day, and if Cameron were to be there, it would take away some of the attention from Jessica. It'd be a distraction, and I think that's just kind of rude on Cameron's part. So it has nothing to do with being friends. It just has to do with this being Jessica's big day, and she wants all eyes on her.
Why would it take away attention from her? I'm sure that there are going to be lots of other celebrities in the audience that people are going to be noticing and looking at, too. I mean, they have celebrity friends.
That's true, but everyone's going to start talking about, Cameron's here and they used to date, and it'll be another topic that people are focusing on as opposed to Jessica being the bride.
Yeah, I mean, they did date a long time.
Yeah, but she's Cameron Diaz. Jessica Biel has nothing to worry about.
It's not worry. It's just it'll, people will be distracted. They'll be talking about it.
Thank you,
all right,
Gina.
So Gina says it's junior high school all over again is what she says. All right, let's try Jennifer. Jennifer's on line four. And let's remember before we hear what she has to say that all Jennifers are hot. So she gets a point. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
All right, what do you think?
I think that my honest opinion is that before you get married, you should be able to trust each other 100%. It's very important. And if she can't trust him enough just to have her as a friend, first of all, then that's an issue. And I think that it's not only her day. I agree that it's also his day. Most people only want to get married once. And if he wants a good friend to be there, then that should be okay. Yeah, the tabloids are going to, you know, have the story that she was there or whatnot, but they're still going to get the attention and the story and the spread in the mouth.
So you think it's a trust issue, not a upstaging issue?
I personally do, yes.
All right.
Now,
because they did date
for so long.
I agree with you, Jennifer, but I think Kevin brought up a good point, which is we don't know that she's saying you can't be friends with her. She's just saying you can't be friends with her and invite her to my wedding. That's what she's saying. Does that make a difference to you?
It's very true, very true. But so is that safe to say that she has no ex-boyfriends coming to the wedding?
Probably.
I would assume so. Or Justin's enough of a man that he can handle it.
And that's what I'm saying. So she should be okay with that.
She should man up.
She should man up. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Caesar. He's on line eight. He's got a little bit of a personal story that kind of goes in line with what we're talking about here. Caesar, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi,
Lisa. Hi.
So, I think they should invite whoever they want. It's both their day. My thing is, my girlfriend, we're going to get married next year, and my best man is going to be her ex-husband.
And are you friends with him?
Oh, yeah. He's my best friend.
Well, see,
bingo.
That's the difference.
He's your best friend. It's a completely different situation.
Yeah.
So, in other words, all the people involved... Her. All the people involved in your story are comfortable and happy with each other, which doesn't sound like that's the deal here. So maybe you guys just got lucky.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody thinks it's weird that me and him hang out and, you know.
It is. Don't get us wrong. That is weird.
Do you guys ever have that talk about that thing that you share in common?
No.
Okay, that's best. That is best. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Here's a couple from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Leslie says, F no. All those people who say you can just be friends with your ex are living in fantasy land. You're either going to have drama or sleep with them again. Having an ex to your wedding is just asking for a disaster. Well, Leslie's, that's just crazy, right? Here's a Twitter response to the @KevinandBean account. Friends and exes are not allowed at any wedding. You can't have someone there that you used to bang at your wedding. No way. So that does seem to be the consensus call here. Most people seem to be agreeing with Lisa and the others who are wrong. We only have time for let's try Melanie real quick. We don't have much more time, but she's on line three. Let's see if we can squeeze her in. Hi, Melanie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Thanks for answering, guys.
What do you think?
I think Jessica Biel is being absolutely ridiculous. I think that, you know, it's his day, too, and I don't understand why he can't have his friends there. I think she's being absolutely ridiculous.
I think, what if there's more to this story, though? Because it sounds like there might be. Lisa might be right in that Jessica Biel and Cameron Diaz might not be friends at all, or enemies, or catty, or whatever. You don't know what that relationship is like.
I mean, Jessica Biel is getting Justin Timberlake. I mean, the game's
and she
over.
Is Jessica Biel. She's already better than Cameron Diaz.
She already wins.
Wedding day, for God's sake.
But it's his wedding day. It's his wedding day, too.
He's allowed
to
attend, Bean. Let's not be ridiculous.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for all the calls. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right here after this on the Kevin. Spoke with Tony Kanal from No Doubt about an hour ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chip is hard at work putting that up at krock.com. It should be up in a little while if you missed the interview. Had a lot to say about the new album coming out on September 25th and the plans for a No Doubt tour and what it was like to be away for so long and all sorts of good stuff. So happy that those guys are back.
Me too. All right, time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, people.
What do you got?
We have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, poor Irwin.
Toto, the tornado kitten. Giant Indian Death Spiders, mm-hmm. Houdini, the Australian Runaway Goat,
uh-huh.
Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven, the Brazilian Penis Snake, the beer-drinking Home Invasion Bears, the swinging polar bear, Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten, the badass super soldier ants.
Wow.
And the Icelandic worm monster.
Did we finally just gave up on Survival Kitty? Survival Kitty got bumped from the wheel, it looks like.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, it never landed on Survival Kitty.
Too many kitties.
Too many kitties, that's the problem.
All right, so that's the options that we have. We're going to spin the wheel. It is time for the Kevin and Bean Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
All right, man, give it a good spin there.
Oh, nice.
That felt good.
That looked good.
Oh, the beer-guzzling home invasion bears!
Yay! Fantastic. I can't believe how many bear stories there have been lately with bears that are getting into places where they're not supposed to be.
They must be hungry.
Did you guys see the video the other day, the surveillance video of the bear that went into a convenience store?
No.
Walked all the way like at a 7-Eleven.
Sounds like a setup for a joke.
No.
So a bear and a priest walked into a convenience store.
No. He just walked in and went all the way out, and he took out like about $100 worth of chocolate with candy bars and stuff like that with him. But it was crazy. But this story goes to Norway is where we are. We're talking about a mother bear and her three cubs that broke into her Norwegian cabin this week, reportedly drinking more than 100 beers, eating all the food, knocking over a wall. The entire cabin was destroyed, said the residents when they returned. Paw prints on the cabin windows, bear excrement everywhere.
Oh.
The mother and the grandmother were the first on the scene, finding the entire cabin ransacked, including appliances destroyed, beds, stoves, oven, cupboards, and shelves all smashed into pieces.
You think 100 beers is enough to get a bear a little lit?
Who has 100 beers in their cabin?
Well, you got to stock up, Lisa. Maybe you can't get out.
You know, it's a long-ass winter in Norway. I guess you do. You go to the store right when it starts to snow. So we asked producer Dave if there's any way he could line up for us somebody to talk about the story. And I believe we go now to Norway to find out about the bears that drank 100 beers in someone's cabin. Hello? Are you one of the bears?
Yes, I'm one of the bears. How are you today?
We're doing fine. Your English is very good, sir.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been working for a long time on speaking my English goodly.
Well, your English is very goodly. So are you the mother bear or are you one of the three cubs?
No, I'm one of the children of my mother.
Okay. So what happened? What happened with this poor woman's cabin that you broke into?
Well, we were thirsty and hungry.
Right.
And so a mother bear, being good provider, says, let's go inside the cabin and we'll have something to eat and drink.
Okay.
So we went to another cabin, but all they had was porridge.
Oh, that's not good.
And their beds were very hard.
Right.
So we decided to go to another. What are you laughing about?
Wait, so who's there with you?
My brother bear, Omar.
Oh, you're really? Okay, gotcha.
So we decided to go to another cabin, and they have beer there.
Ah, that's...
Which is much preferable to porridge.
Of that course. Is much better, yeah. So,
everyone know.
You're drinking now? You're still drinking? How do you get that pop top open with your paw?
I have incredibly strong paws and claws.
I see. Okay.
I can rip top off of your skull. Okay. I can easily get into a beer.
All right.
Okay. You want me to prove it?
No, I can see. All right.
I would be happy to pop your head off like a zit.
I believe you.
Okay.
So, 100 beers, and you also ate all of the food.
That's among four of us, though, keep in mind.
Well, that is only 25 beers a person. That's
right.
True.
So shut up.
No, that's
make us sound like we're drunk.
I'm not accusing you of having a problem.
No, you do. I sense a little bit of accusing tone in your voice.
No, it's just, it's a lot
no,
for one.
I don't
one...
think I like it.
No,
I can smell it from a distance. You know, we have excellent sense of smell.
Over
bears
the phone?
Do. Yes.
Huh. It just seems like for one sitting, it seems like 100 beers among four people, three of them kids, is a lot. That's all.
Well, listen, the legal drinking age for bear is 2.
I didn't know that. Right? I didn't know that.
It's not the same in people years.
You ate
before you start making accusations.
All of the food inside the cabin, including chocolate spread.
Yes,
honey,
chocolate is good.
Marshmallows, the whole deal.
Honey, of course.
That sounds like a party.
I know honey's a little stereotypical.
Sure.
What with Winnie the Pooh and all.
Wow, you really know your bear legends.
I am bear. Why would I not know about bear?
That's a good point.
You know that Benjamin Harrison was the last president with a beard?
Now, why would you know that?
Well, I'm saying you know people things. I know bear things.
You certainly know bear things.
I know Winnie the Pooh. I know Paddington. I know Yogi. I know all bears. Don't act so bad. I don't think I like where this phone call is going, frankly.
We just wanted to check in with the bears that were drinking beer. That's all. We didn't know.
Well, I think I'm done talking with you now.
Oh, come on. Don't be that.
I don't like your snide tone.
No, that's not at all. We're just trying to find out. Nothing against you. Don't.
Okay, we'll take that as a hint that you're pretty much done with us then.
I would like to maul you now.
This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, the final hour of the Kevin and Bean Show for 2012. I'm sad, Ralph, that we're running out of time because there's been very little Christmas music on our program.
That's true.
And very little Christmas music means not only not much fruitcake from Fred Schneider, it also means not much Wing, Santa on a Helicopter.
This Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter. Mm. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart, guys.
Santa Claus on a helicopter.
I just feel like if you don't have Wing singing Santa on a Helicopter, it's not really the holiday season. You know?
Maybe the most annoying Christmas song ever. It's Santa's, Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
So you're not down with the Wing.
No.
All right. Every year about this time, we start looking back at the year that was. We did the top 10 Omar intros for you yesterday, little songs that he created for our program throughout the year. We did the top 10 beer mug moments. We had the top 10 internet roundup moments. Now we're up to the top 10 sound bites of 2012. These are the little, what we call in the business, these are the little drops, little sound bites. Usually somebody saying something that we sprinkle throughout the program that we have just fallen in love with. And it was tough. This was a great year for sound bites, Ralph. It was very tough for us to narrow it down to the final 10. But are you ready?
I can't wait.
Number 10, and I can't believe that this doesn't happen more often with Lisa May, because she is asked to read all sorts of ridiculous copy for her commercials.
Yes. Yeah.
Just yesterday, she had a commercial where she was going on about ho, ho, ho. This is the one, though, that really captured my imagination. It's one of the best, and it's number 10 of the sound bites of 2012.
So much beef.
I mean, that's just to me. That's, you hear Lisa saying that. That's just good
news.
I
thought
it might have been Gruyere, but no. So much beef.
It's a terrible word.
Remember when we had the guy on, and we revisited the conversation just very recently with the when the Powerball jackpot got up to $500 million. We had that guy on from Florida who wrote a book about how to win the lottery. Remember? And yeah. I ran some crackball theory by him, and here's what he had to say. We also fell in love with this soundbite, number 9 of the year.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
Just such commitment to that, right?
And who's using hogwash in 2012, by the way?
Great question. One of the internet roundup videos that we fell in love with so much was Sweet Brown. She was the lady who was interviewed after there was a fire in her neighborhood. She had just come down for a cold pop, and she said something that just we all fell in love with. Here's it is at number 8.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I mean, really, that just says it all. You're going to love this, Ralph. You actually made it as a soundbite this year.
I'm honored.
Ralph Garman, who says something just like this so often whenever somebody seems to be into something that Ralph doesn't understand, this is what he says.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Yeah. Well, I want to know.
That is true.
Up to number 6, of course, it was a very contentious political season. The election was very, very close. It just happened last month, back in November, and the election and the campaigning is where we got this soundbite at number 6.
Mitt Romney says no.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Mitt Romney said no to a lot of things on our show, didn't he?
Sure did.
Before Kevin, my former radio partner, before he died, before he passed away a few weeks ago, he used to be on the program. And we used to always love it when he would try to tackle, I don't know, complicated words that had maybe two or three syllables in them. Like this one, the soundbite at number 5.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, good stuff.
Number 4 is, this was our go-to song every time we had a clip from a new album. Ralph would be talking about something that we were excited about, a new collaboration or a leak on a hot new album or something like that. This is usually the song that we went to, and I love this at number 4.
Balls, 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 balls.
That, by the way, came out of 30 Rock this year.
That's right.
And
it's Jane Krakowski.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, one of Jenna's hit records. Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. And that show was so funny this year, and I just loved the little ball song. All right, we're getting close to the top here. Top 10 sound bites of 2012 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's one. This is a dark horse. This one came pretty late in the season. We've used it some this year. I suspect this one might even make next year's list. This one's going to be so popular because it definitely has the people behind it. Is whenever we go out anywhere in public, it's almost impossible to not have people chanting Fire Beer Mug.
Yes.
It's just they're so swept up with that. It seems like that you got to give the people what they want, right?
I saw the band Garbage doing it backstage at Acoustic Christmas this year.
Come on.
Just spontaneously.
They weren't doing that.
John Boehner, he went to the White House yesterday to meet with President Obama for an hour, and I saw some of the video of that as they're walking out of the Oval Office. The only thing they can agree on is fire beer mug. They're chanting that together. It's just crazy. Number two on the list of the top 10 sound bites of 2012. I'm going to take you back to a magical day on the Kevin and Bean Show. The first week of March, we had a young lady in here being interviewed by the name of Lana Del Rey. Do you remember that interview?
No. Oh, how could I forget?
Charming Lana Del Rey.
Pompous bitch.
And do you remember that we asked her a question about the editing of her videos? And it turned out, well, not only does she in fact edit her videos, but according to her,
Obviously,
she says. Cool. Yes. That was Lana Del Rey. And that was hard. You'd be hard pressed to find a soundbite that we enjoyed more than obviously.
Obviously.
But there is one. You guys have been on the show for 12 months. Any guesses? Any thoughts?
Wow.
Any hopes and dreams and wishes of what
number
this last one could be?
What
could it be?
I'll give you a hint that might be a tip off to you. This one also comes from the month of March. Lana Del Rey was on in March. We had somebody else on in March that gave us the greatest soundbite of the year for 2012.
Oh, that's tough.
March.
I don't know.
Well, it's the musical question we asked ourselves many times.
Will Brenda be there?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Larry King. Larry King was on the show ahead of his appearance at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness this year, and out of the blue, for some reason, he asked us if Glenda was going to be there.
Yeah. Obviously.
And we never stopped the whole rest of the year trying to figure out who Glenda was.
Say hello to Jane Biondi of 2012.
Yes.
Exactly it is. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen, your top 10 2012. Comedian Eddie F. joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla on the program, too, and Dana White, president of the UFC. By the way, Kevin, if he hasn't left yet for Rio,
yes,
please see if he'll let you jump on board the plane and head on down.
Oh, that'd be great.
Would that be the sweetest ride ever?
I would love that.
Because you know he's got to have a private plane going down to
Rio.
No,
I'll tell you guys I'm going to broadcast from down there, and then you'll never hear from me.
You'll be gone forever.
That'll be great.
Sounds like a win-win to me. Hey, guess who's back in the news, Lisa May? Our old friend Dr. Stephen Hawking had a birthday over the weekend.
Oh, now, okay.
Let me tell you something about Stephen Hawking. He's the little, as Homer Simpson calls it, my little robot friend. He's the scientist who's in a wheelchair. He can't talk anymore. He uses one of those computer voices to talk. He's a genius. He's a best-selling author. He's an astrophysicist. He's been, he's an expert on black holes. The guy has been a scientist genius for decades.
I'd go so far as to say he's our favorite astrophysicist. I'd go so far as to say at the top of that list is Dr. Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not for me. Okay. I'm more of a Neil deGrasse Tyson man. But my point is that it's a miracle that the dude is still alive. He's had Lou Gehrig's disease since he was like 20. And usually you get, 2, 3, 5, maybe 6 years out of something like that.
Yeah.
He's 70 now. He had his 70th birthday. Like, how is that possible that this dude is still alive and still working?
It's stunning. It's stunning that he's still going.
We have him on the phone if you want to ask him that very question. Dr. Stephen Hawking, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, happy birthday, first of all. 70 is probably a year that even you thought you wouldn't make, sir.
How do you like me now, bitches?
Pretty impressive. What's the secret? How have you been able to stay alive and beat the odds so long?
Exercise.
Yep.
Well,
to keep active.
That seems unlikely since you're in a wheelchair and you look like you weigh about 40 pounds.
Lifting weights, running long distance.
I don't see any of that happening.
Parkour.
You know what else is weird is David Bowie actually shared a birthday with you.
Yes,
it's kind of strange, right?
It was also David's birthday this weekend.
Right, isn't
that crazy?
He's
65, right.
We always hang out together, Dave and I, being both famous Brits.
You hang out together with David Bowie?
Yes. We partied together for our birthdays this past weekend.
No kidding.
Are you kidding? I had no idea that you even knew each other. That's crazy.
The party is still going on.
Right now?
Because the party don't stop until the panties drop.
Is that true for you too?
That's how I roll.
I see. Okay.
And he means roll. So what do you guys do? I mean, what do you even have in common?
Would you like to talk to David?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? Yeah, the very reclusive David Bowie. You rarely get a chance to speak with him.
Good
morning, Kevin Levine.
Hi, David.
I party with Stephen Hawking.
We were curious about...
I party with Stephen Hawking.
All right.
I party with Stephen Hawking. It was my birthday this weekend. I am 65. I have a life alert necklace. I've fallen and can't get up. I party with Stephen Hawking.
Okay, party with Stephen Hawking. Can we talk to you about...
I party with Stephen Hawking.
All right, okay.
What?
Get Stephen on the phone again.
I party with Stephen Hawking.
Can we talk to Stephen Hawking?
Stephen, they want to talk to you.
Oh, good.
Kevin Bean wants to talk to you. Pick up the phone, they want to talk to you.
Okay, just...
And done with me, they want to talk with you.
Just we're not answering
talk with you
questions.
Right on the phone.
Right,
now.
David, hand the phone
I'm
to Stephen Hawking.
To hand the phone up. I'll be handing the phone to
go ahead.
Stephen.
Go ahead and do that.
Stephen will be on the phone
right.
Next.
Just hand
the next voice you hear will be Stephen.
I hope so.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Wow, that was. I thought we'd lost you there for a minute, Doctor. That was tough.
I party with David Bowie.
What's happening?
I party with David Bowie.
No, this isn't what we want.
I party with David Bowie. I party with David Bowie.
Okay, right. But what kind of party?
I party with David Bowie.
Been hanging out too much, I think. Okay.
I party with David
right.
Bowie.
What do you do when you party
David
with
David Bowie? And I like to party.
All right. This is all we're going to get.
I party with David Bowie.
All right. Okay.
I party with David Bowie.
All right.
Bowie.
Happy birthday to
David
you both.
David Bowie and I do party.
Okay. Thank you.
He dances. I just sit here.
Coming up, we have Adam Carolla
with This Week in Rage.
Yes, we do. Also, BJ Penn will talk about the UFC on Fox airing this Saturday night. Dave, our producer, tells us we're going to have Mr. Judd Apatow on the phone with us within about 30 seconds or so. Comedy legend. Listen to this guy's track record. As a writer or director or producer, these are some of the movies that he's brought us. 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Superbad, Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Step Brothers, Pineapple Express. I mean, I'm basically reading the DVD shelf at your house, Kevin, right now, right?
True. Yeah, all of them.
Funny People, Get Him to the Greek, Bridesmaids. Of course, he's the executive producer of Girls on HBO. The guy just does everything. And let's not forget Freaks and Geeks on TV before the big movie started. I mean, the dude is just a genius. And I'm very excited we're going to get a chance to talk to him here in a second.
Me too. That's going to be fun.
This new film looks so funny, by the way. It's called This Is 40, and this is kind of a follow-up to Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd, their characters from the film Knocked Up. You remember they were, you know, played the couple in that movie, and this is kind of to see where they are a couple of years later, and it just looks hilarious.
It does. It looks great and depressing for marriages
sort
everywhere.
Sort of does, yeah. Yeah, a little bit depressing.
Uh-huh.
And if we had Judd on, we would ask him this, but it sounds like much of this came out of his real-life marriage with, you know, his beautiful actress wife, Leslie Mann, who's, you know, co-stars in the film. It sounds like this is a thinly veiled attempt to show what life is like at their house.
Which has to be a little insulting toward her, maybe.
Well,
don't you think?
Yeah, but it's a job.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That's true. There is that.
That's always good. So.
So what else is going on?
I love Girls. Girls is coming back in January.
All right. No more stalling necessary. Mr. Apatow joins us back on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Judd. How are you, buddy?
I'm excited to be here. How are you doing, guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Love you. We never get enough time with you. In fact, the last time we were supposed to have you on, you with your busy schedule, unfortunately had to cancel. You were promoting your book that was out at the time, that book that you wrote, you know, that collected all the great comedy stuff.
Oh,
the,
that's right. This I Found This Funny, which you can get for Christmas. It's for charity. Has all funny, funny articles and cartoons and short stories I like. I have so much to plug, I don't even know where to start.
I know. And the only reason I wanted to bring up the book is because we didn't get a chance to talk about it at the time, but I did read the book ahead of that interview, and I felt like a dope because then you canceled. But it was hilarious, and I want people to know it's out there because if you have this comic sensibility of a guy like Judd Apatow, you will enjoy this book, and it's a great Christmas gift. All right.
Well, there's nothing worse than reading when you don't have to.
Right? That's what I'm
saying. That's true.
Let's talk about the movie. Right before you came on, we were saying that we had heard that a lot of the storyline for This Is 40 kind of came out of your real life with your wife, Leslie Mann, the beautiful actress in the film. And we were wondering if that has to be awkward, I would imagine, some of the real life problems that you might have. Now you're trying to, I don't know, trying to put it on the screen and make it fun.
Well, what's the purpose of a vicious fight if you can't make money off of it?
Right, but then later on when you're recounting the vicious fight, yeah. Does she go, hey, this wasn't as much my fault as you're making it look? Was there any of that?
You know, a lot of what's fun about the movie is we're trying to show people at their worst, you know, like when you really go off the rails and lose your minds on each other.
Sure.
And but we're also trying to show that they're both kind of equally great people and equally flawed. But I do find it funny when you just go off the rails. I just think it's funny when, like you say, everything you've been holding in for months.
Yeah.
And I just find fighting funny. But it's also, you know, it's about family and recommitting to your relationship. And there's tons of funny people in it. Albert Brooks is in it, which is crazy.
And I wanted to ask you about that because, look, you're at a point now where I suspect, Judd, you could pick up the phone and get anybody that you wanted on the line. I mean, you're a big deal in Hollywood. But even you, as a fan of comedy, have to be in awe of working with a guy like Albert Brooks, right?
Well, I'm such a big fan of his. I had dinner with him when I was young. Me and Gary Shandling had dinner with him like in the early 90s. And I went home and I wrote down every single thing he said, every joke he made. He was making jokes about the Menendez trial. He was like, you don't kill your parents and then buy a Rolex. You don't just do that.
I was so happy to see him in this movie because he was on that season of Weeds last year, but it just doesn't seem like he works as much as I want him to because I enjoy him so much, but he looks awesome. And I also love in the trailer for This Is 40, and I don't think most married couples really consider killing one another, but I think the thought crosses their mind fleetingly, and I love that you explore that in the film too.
Well, what I try to do is just, you know, say the things in the movie that most people are thinking that they don't want to say out loud.
Right.
It's like long sequences of Paul Rudd fantasizing about what his life would be like if his wife died from a gas leak.
But he wants her to die in a peaceful way. It's not an angry thing.
No, there was actually a funny hunk that we cut out of the movie where he talked about it and about how, like, if his wife died, it was important that the police found the body, because if you don't find the body, then everyone expects him to look for it for the rest of his life.
We're talking to writer, director, producer, comedy genius Judd Apatow here on The Kevin DeBean Show about the film called This Is 40, which, by the way, ordinarily when we have an interview, it means the movie's coming out this Friday. That's not the case this time. When's the actual due date for This Is 40?
It comes out December 21st. People know that as the day the world ends on the Mayan calendar.
Sure.
Nice.
So my advice is see the matinee.
See it early, just in case. Just, you don't have time later.
The world might end more in a nighttime situation.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, Judd. There's a little bit of controversy on the internet these days with your old friend Mr. Skin. Have you been following this at all?
Someone mentioned this to me today. I don't quite understand it.
Well, Mr. Skin was saying, because I guess, you know, you kind of made his site blow up a few years ago with the reference in Knocked Up, but he was saying that there were rumors going around before this movie came out, maybe before even the screenings, that there was CGI nudity in the movie, that somehow the nudity that we see in the film, and I don't even know which character he's talking about, is not really naked, but it was something that was made up in special effects afterwards. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, we had to elongate Paul Rudd's member.
So it's seeable?
That takes work. You know, that's an expensive proposition.
Hey, if I could get someone to do that for me in a film, I would absolutely do it.
Exactly. But, you know, that's what it's movie magic. I can't give away the movie magic.
Sure. All right. So we don't know. If we see boobs in the movie, I want to believe they're real. That's all I'm telling you, Judd.
They're the boobs of the characters in Star Wars.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Good. Excellent.
All right. In our final minute, we have to ask, because Lisa and I were talking about it right before you came on, how our favorite show on TV is Girls on HBO with your little friend Lena Dunham. We know it's coming back here in a few weeks. How did you see her movie and think this is somebody who has got the gold to go the distance and make a TV show as great as hers? It just seems like she was the find of the year last year.
Well, you know, her movie Tiny Furniture was really good, and she made it for $45,000, and you know, it was very personal. It starred her family, and you know, I like people who like are ballsy enough to work with their actual families in movies. And she's so nice and hilarious. The DVD of the first season comes out next week. And for those buying DVDs, even more importantly, the first movie I ever co-wrote, a Disney movie starring Ben Stiller called Heavyweights, comes out next week on Blu-ray. And we found all these crazy deleted scenes of Ben Stiller yelling at children. So
Nothing says Christmas more than Ben Stiller yelling at children.
I was just saying, you literally could do nothing but Christmas shopping on Judd Apatow-related products this season and take care of everyone on your list, it sounds like.
Oh, my gosh. You get the new Vanity Fair as a comedy issue, which I edited. And it's all interviews with this big articles on Freaks and Geeks and Martin Short and the Blues Brothers. And Louis C.K. wrote for it and Lena wrote for it. So that came out today, and that's my favorite thing ever. It's like a comedy nerd's fantasy.
Judd, I know we're out of time, but you're going to have to come on more often so that you don't have to fit so much plugging into such a small amount of time.
It's kind of disgusting, but I will come on. Okay. But only if I could be on for like 2 hours. I'm not going
to.
It's either 6 minutes or 2 hours, and I could fully ride the whole train.
Okay. This is 40 is the film. It looks amazing. Coming out everywhere on Friday, December 21st. Our friend Judd Apatow on the phone here on the Kevin Beach Show. You're the best, man. Thank you for the time, and happy holidays to you.
All right. Thank you.
I would like to begin by saying that we did a little research behind the scenes because we couldn't imagine that what we're about to tell you is true.
I could imagine it was true.
Wait, Bean, you still think it's not true?
I still think it's a giant internet prank.
How much do I have to tell you?
Well, do you know a guy who bought it and received it in the mail?
Yes.
Okay, there's that, but I'm still saying it's not true.
Yeah, but other than that.
Look, can we apologize in advance for what our listeners are about to hear?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm concerned how we're going to talk about what we're about to
hear.
As
am I.
Ralph, how'd you find out about vulva-original.com? Again, that's vulva-original.com. How'd you come across this website?
An acquaintance
I'm terrified
of mine,
of what your Google searches must look like.
Acquaintance of mine said, I ordered this product because he enjoys the aroma of women.
Right.
And so he sent me the link to a commercial for this fragrance.
Is that the commercial where the guy smells the bike seat?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a man who
I just
tweeted
that
one. It's a physical trainer. It's a personal trainer who is working out with a beautiful young woman who is riding one of those spin bikes, one of those stationary bikes.
Sure.
And when she's done working out, he is aroused by the aroma that was left behind on the seat of that stationary bicycle. And it's so much so, he actually takes the seat home with him.
Oh, no.
So but while they through all that.
Now they've removed the seat.
Right. Why do you have to go through all that process?
He's bottled it.
When you can just go to vulva-original.com and get a classy vial of your own scent of womanhood.
Vulva Original. Worldwide unique. The real erotifying vaginal scent of a desirable woman.
That's right.
Aren't you leaving behind the best part of the vagina, which is the ability to see?
Yeah, easy, easy.
No, I'm just saying you're taking one aspect of the vagina and you're leaving all. I think you're leaving all of the best parts on the plate.
This is not a substitute for. This is in addition to. This is when you're not with a lady. You have the ability to recreate in your mind the fantasy, the imaginary situation of that, but the added...
I'm able to do that on my own.
But this gives you the added essence. This gives, besides the other senses, this gives you the added additional scent that you can use to imagine that scenario, and it becomes a very erotic experience for some, and I would say for most.
We asked producer Dave to please find out more about vulva-original.com, and sure enough, the creator of the scent and the man who runs the site, Mr. Lenson joins us.
All right.
On the phone, I believe from Germany, Mr. Lenson, can you hear us all right, sir?
Yes, perfectly. Hi. Nice to be on your show.
Thank you so much for joining us. As you heard on hold, we have had some discussion. Some of us do not believe your product is real, but you say it is.
That's correct. I mean, Vulva Original is a worldwide unique self-stimulation erotic product, and it is a serious product, even it sounds a little bit strange. It is a real vaginal scent for your own smelling pleasure.
There you go.
And it is unique because it is real. There are real organic substances of a real woman inside that product.
How do you get that to happen?
I guess that would be our first question.
Harvest.
Harvest.
Really?
There you go. Harvest the essence, the aroma.
This is what they do before they send him to the hostel in those movies.
The question is how we make it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Of course. This is the most asked question. So we are selling a stylish product, a beautiful flacon, a glass vial covered with a designful package and a wonderful website. But we only sell this precious secret. And how we do this, of course, is a secret. But you can be sure that there are real organic substances inside the product of a German
but
beautiful woman.
You should put, like, the face of the person on each vial. Because, you know, I want Alessandro Ambrosio. I want Katy Perry. I don't want Rosie O'Donnell. You know what I mean? Like,
Of course, but the anonymous fact is also a very important fact because all the men don't know what woman is really. I mean, it is a 25-year-old beautiful woman, and of course we don't show the face of that woman.
Yeah, that would be indiscreet.
We made a lot of tests with different women and different ages, and of course with a large group of men who tested the different senses, and we chose that scent all men love best.
Why can't we get in on that testing process? Yeah. we're too late to the game.
I would be part of that consumer group.
In our cupboard, we have two different senses too. I mean, Vulva 18 is a younger version, and Vulva Exotic is for the bad boys, a more heavier version.
Did you find, Mr. Lesson, that the scent of a younger, more of childbearing age, a woman of that age, was more pleasant for men when they did the testing?
No, I mean the scent of an 18-year-old girl is different than the scent of a 45-year-old girl.
You got that right, sir.
But as I told you, we have chosen that scent. All the test group of men love best, and this is a girl from 25-year-old. I mean, that's why we chose that scent.
Okay. Mr. Lenson, again, for our listeners, the site is vulva, vulva-original.com. So most of what comes in the bottle is made in a laboratory, and then you add organic substance from a real woman. Is that accurate, would you say?
I mean, you can open your fantasies how you like. We don't say a lot of how we do it.
Yeah, it's a trade secret.
Is,
okay.
Of course, there were a lot of people who were working in that process, and of course also in the laboratories. But again, there are real organic substances inside.
Gotcha.
And we don't sell the product in any sex shop. Only on the website. This is also because I want to have a product as an exclusive and unique product.
But okay. the use of the product, sir, I would think, is primarily for men to engage in sexual fantasy while using this as an additional enhancement to that experience, correct?
Correct. For example, there is a businessman, lonesome, lying on his bed and watching a boring program. Then he can choose pay TV, and he starts to trigger the erotic feelings.
Yes.
And now he can see something, he can hear something, and he can also touch something, maybe himself or a toy, but for the smell, he has nothing. And or he's a lucky guy and his wife put him somewhere in panty in his luggage. But
right.
So with Vulva Original, he can close the circle of senses and there are attractions.
You get four out of the five senses that way. That's pretty strong.
You can buy a double vial and a pair of panties from this site as well.
Well, sure. Sometimes you need a delivery mechanism.
Before we run out of time, Mr. Lansing, can you tell us how you first came up with this idea for Vulva Original?
Yeah, before I got the idea of developing Vulva Original, I was the owner of a successful advertising agency, and after selling my company, I had the vision of creating Vulva, a worldwide unique and high-class product with a stylish and exclusive view, a desirable product what the world really needs in my eyes. So I put all my money and passion and heartblood into developing the product and with a team of scientists from all over the world. And in the erotic market, you can find millions of stimulation articles for all senses. Yes.
Right.
On the sense of the smell, nobody put a focus till now. And that, for me, was unbelievable.
And scientifically, has been proven that the sense of smell is one of the most powerful in terms of triggering memories and thoughts and fantasies.
Correct. Yeah. That's it. Hmm. That's it.
Now, all right. you've got smell covered, and we've got touch, as we mentioned, and sight and sound. Are there any plans for vulvasicles or a lozenge or some gum or something that I can have the taste sensation as well with vulva?
Maybe.
The next step. The next step. You need to expand your line, sir.
Think about the gum.
First of all, we will bring out Vulva 18, a white package. Vulva Original is a black one, and Vulva Exotic is a metallic bronze package. And then we will see. I mean, the most of customers come from the United States, from Canada,
is that right?
Scandinavia, and the most from Japan. That's correct.
Oh, that sure surprised me. They're freaky.
All right, sure. My last question for you, sir, and please, Lisa, do not take offense. Do you have anything to make the smell go away?
I hope not, because I love that scent.
But that's the nice part. You put the cap on, and it's over, and you don't have to hear her talk to you or anything afterwards.
Oh, there you go. Know? That's a good point.
I love the scent all the day around me.
All right.
Imagine what the laboratory looks like over there. All the labs, just a bunch of hot 25-year-old girls sitting on vials.
Vulva-original.com is the website. I think I have been convinced. Mr. Lenson has been our guest. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed
it,
sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Sounded like you were going to say something else.
It did. Me too. And then yeah. I realized I had nothing else. Uh-huh.
Kevin, I feel badly for you here. I think about how tough it must be to be you and to go through your life and to survive and get dressed in the morning and find your keys and drive to work and raise a family. And then I see a story like this that we're about to talk about little Heidi Hankins, and I think, well, this is just piling on. This is just sad at this point.
Is this a joke? I mean, are they doing this to make people like me feel bad?
No, it's just a real news story, and I don't really understand very much about how Mensa works. That's the organization. I guess it's for super smart people that test at a certain IQ level. I don't really even understand how IQ works, because she's 4. So it's not like they gave her the same test they gave high schoolers and found out that she scored well on it. I mean, she's 4. Right?
Mensa is an organization that only allows people in the top 2% of IQ points in.
Mm-hmm.
This 4-year-old has been let in.
Wow.
Yes. She has an IQ of 159, which is just below Albert Einstein. 100 is considered average. And she's just one of these kids who, learned to read. I mean, she learned to read at a year and a half. She had a good vocabulary and was speaking well at 1, for instance. Her father says that he bought her the complete Oxford Reading Tree books when she was 2, and she read through the entire set of them in about an hour. In other words, about what you'd expect a 7-year-old to do in terms of reading comprehension. And it just goes on and on and on with all this stuff that this kid does. She's 4 years old. Like, what's up with this?
You have her on the phone if you want to talk to her. King of
what?
Mexico.
What? Little Heidi?
Yes.
Little Heidi's on the line with us right now? Yeah. Heidi Hankins? Hi, Heidi. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations on being a Mensa member.
Thank you. It's very nice of you, and I appreciate it.
Okay. What does it mean? I mean, what do you do in Mensa? What's does responsibility come with that, or meetings, or a parade, or an outfit, or what do you get?
Yeah, you get a parade and an outfit. No, I'm just teasing. The best part of being in Mensa is you don't have to hang out with people if ask if you get a parade or an outfit.
Yeah,
you can avoid
that group. Question.
You
I am not
to
in
other
the group.
Smart people.
Yeah,
and we all
right.
get together in meetings.
Oh, you have meetings, okay? And then what do? You just talk about how smart you are?
No, we talk about things that interest us, like science, and about reading the books we've been reading, and we just share it with each other.
Okay. What kind of books do you like at age 4?
Mostly pornography.
Whoa,
I'm sorry, geography.
Geography. Oh. It's different.
I read that wrong.
Very big difference.
Right.
Okay, down here. I'm sorry, I'm busy and you're interrupting me, so I'm a little distracted.
What's happening? Because I hear it sounds like maybe a bath in the background.
No, it's not a bath. I'm working on stem cell research right now.
Stem cell research.
I'm having a problem with the cellular degeneration of the blastocysts. You know, when you get zygotic separation, it's hard sometimes to keep the cellular construction in regiment form.
Can you dumb that down for us?
Heidi, do things very, very smart, good things.
Right. Okay, then I got it.
Now I got it.
Twits.
So what do you want to be when you grow up, Heidi?
Not bored by people like you.
Well,
okay?
Right. Well, you don't have to have an attitude.
I'm so tired of people like you calling me up. Oh, you're so smart, Heidi. Can we talk to you? Yeah, you can talk to me, but you won't understand what I'm saying, will you? Because you're freaking stupid.
Okay, but you don't have to be an a-hole just because you're smart.
You don't have to be an a-hole because you're dumb, but that's just the way things work out, isn't it?
I don't think I have a choice.
No, you don't, and nor do I. Only my problem is I'm so much more painfully aware how stupid you are.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. This doesn't sound like fun at all.
It isn't fun for me, trust me, because all I do is talk to Neanderthals like you all day long. Ooh, do you get a parade or an outfit? And I try to be nice, and I try to sound like a four-year-old, but you just sound bloody dumb.
Well, it's hard to argue.
I'm sorry, I just went poopy in my pants.
All right, new topic. Spoiler alerts. Thanks to the rise of social media, particularly Facebook, and more recently Twitter, you can't be online anymore if there's something happening on television that you don't want to know about, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, like, for example, if I'm taping a UFC fight, if I'm out someplace and I'm taping a UFC fight, I don't go on any social media. When I get home, mm-hmm. I go straight to the TV and I start watching the UFC because it happened maybe 3 hours before.
Right.
And there's no way you could avoid that being spoiled.
Right.
But if you do happen to pull out your phone at a stoplight like you do and glance at your Twitter.
Don't do that.
And you see people talking about who won the fight, are you then furious at the people that tweeted it?
No, I'm not. I'm furious at me. Because I know people are going to be tweeting that and Facebooking it. Mm-hmm. Is it cool that they're doing it? I don't know. It's a live sporting event.
Right.
It's sort of on me to avoid them.
Most of the people who are interested in watching it are watching it.
Yeah. I think that's on me if it's live.
If it's a live event. All right. Now, depending on the event, it may not just be social media. It may be you can't listen to the radio. You can't watch TV.
Question.
If it's the Emmys or it's the presidential debates or it's something else that's happening that's newsworthy,
right.
It's going to be reported some places. And I think I agree with Kevin. It's kind of on you to realize that and put your own head in the sand.
I was watching, I don't know, Comedy Central or something, and I hadn't watched a Kings game yet. And they somehow...
On Comedy Central?
Yes, and I remember thinking, hey, I'm on Comedy Central. I should not get a spoiler on here.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, but it's a live event or whatever, you know. I don't know. It's kind of, so they're going to do it. That's the reality.
Right. We have a friend who is going to bust an aneurysm in her head, and that is the beautiful Nicole Alvarez, who does the night show here on the world famous K-Rock. And she joins us on the phone, hopefully in bed and hopefully naked right now. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, gentlemen.
How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, Nicole.
I'm awake.
Why did you go on a rampage recently?
Because humanity ruined Sons of Anarchy for me.
All right. Tell us, lay it out for us. What happened? Wait, Sons of Anarchy, isn't that on when you're on the radio?
Exactly. So
okay.
I can't watch it. I mean, we have cable TV in the studio, but I can't watch TV in there while I'm working, correct?
Okay.
You're not supposed to, right?
Understood.
Right. Weatherby would be very upset.
Sure. So what happened?
So I was on Facebook because I was trying to give away tickets to No Doubt in mm-hmm. the fourth row and right. interact with our listeners. And then people started commenting and doing that. I can't believe Kurt Sutter just did that. Oh, my God, that just happened. And then they dropped the name bomb.
The name of the person who died on that episode.
The name of the person who died on that episode. Multiple times I saw it online, and then it was on Twitter, and then it was coming at me from all directions.
Right.
So,
and you hadn't seen the show yet, and that's one of your favorites.
No, and here's the thing, dude. It was less than an hour after the show had aired. Like, the body wasn't even cold yet,
yeah.
And they were ruining it for everybody.
Not for everybody, just those that didn't watch it.
Well, exactly. That was most of us.
But isn't that... But, Nicole, that's sort of on you because...
Oh, don't give me this crap.
Listen, you have to know that's going to happen.
Listen to me. I was so engulfed in work and giving away these tickets and, like, just kind of interacting with the people online.
Right.
I even forgot it was Tuesday night.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Hmm. It was very innocent on my end.
All right, let me ask this question. I'll play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
And that is... Why do people have to tweet spoiler alerts? Is the other
it's
half of this equation?
Human beings in this world.
But why does somebody need to do that? Is it because they and their circle of friends are all watching the show
probably.
Live and they're trying to communicate with one another about how awesome that show is and what just happened? And here's
well,
the plot point:
get the freaking phone and call each other. Then
that doesn't happen.
No, that's
you know that. You know that. You text. You text at the very least. Most of the time, it's Facebook.
This? how about this, guys? Let's say they have the need to vent emotionally by using their fingers on a keyboard. They
right.
just have to type something up.
Right.
A lot of these shows have their own sites that have these things called discussion boards.
Right. That's their for main... the but that's for the hardcore nerds.
Okay, well, these people are hardcore jackasses.
Okay. But here's my point, Nicole. Did one person ruin it for you?
No, it was one person that started it, and he is now blocked, and he was like a listener or something.
Good.
He ruined it. I'm like, I don't even want you in my realm.
So it's but it's coming from kind of everyone. Like, at this point,
yeah,
whether they
everyone.
Should do it or not is irrelevant. They're going to do it. You have to stay away from it.
Okay, well, now I've learned that painful lesson.
That's the rule. It's on you to avoid if you want to watch something.
Now, hold on. I was listening to you guys talk about live events.
Live
events,
yes.
Let's say the Oscars or whatnot.
Right.
Television shows like Sons of Anarchy are meant for us to suspend disbelief. We kind of like live vicariously through these characters
Agreed.
For a while.
Right.
The Oscars, like if I know who won Best Screenplay, I don't care. That doesn't take me out of my life.
Right. So it's just stuff you care about.
Right. So I don't care about live events.
So do you just want us to put out the word, no one tweet about Sons of Anarchy?
No, common decency. Just if you want to tweet about it, but don't name names. Isn't that a fair compromise, don't you think?
I do think it's a fair compromise, but I also know that if you go to Facebook next time, it's not going to be... Like that.
In other words,
perfect scenario.
It's the reality. You have to face the reality of the modern age.
They could just put
yes.
giant spoiler alert before every one of their entries.
They
no, but
purpose.
I mean, that would be a good
right.
way
is
to
that,
do it.
Is that a rule? Do you have to put spoiler alert?
I think that would be good. Like Entertainment Weekly does that.
What about the next day?
Decency.
Yeah. How long do we have to wait because you're too lame to watch the show?
Hours. 24 hours.
That's
Here's
fair.
Why. I'm a TV purist. I feel like you have to watch your show the night of. I don't care where you are. Figure it out. You have 24 hours to watch this go down, and then have at it.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Nicole says 24 hours, and then everything's fair game.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, I've rarely, and look, this is Bean speaking. I've seen a lot of angry women in my time. I've rarely sensed someone was as angry as Nicole was that night over Sons of Anarchy. I really thought she was going to drive to that listener's house and throttle him.
Nicole, we cool? We friends? We cool? We boys?
We're cool, but I'm scared that now Kevin Ryder, like, I feel like you're going to go out of your way to call me on the hotline on Tuesdays and just, like,
you
ruin everything.
You know me so well.
I do.
All right, Nicole, we love you. Thank you.
I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we want to hear from you now. Now that you've heard Nicole, now that you've heard Lisa's compromise, we want to hear from you what your spoiler alert rules are.
Spoiler alert.
And do we also want to hear some stories of spoiler alerts?
Oh, yeah.
How they've ruined your life?
The worst ones, yeah.
We want to hear if you've really been devastated by spoiler alerts. I think it would be a lot of fun for all of us to hear your misery.
So we're talking about the topic. Maybe we can come up with some sort of a consensus here on how it should go and how it has not worked in the past.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Q, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, our breakfast with the Black Keys will be going on right now. We are talking about spoiler alerts.
Yeah, we live in the age, let's face it, where most of us are online pretty much all the time. And it's kind of hard to avoid spoiler alerts on Twitter, on Facebook.
It isn't really that hard.
Really? I would find it difficult.
Well, I mean, it depends on how long you have to wait. I mean,
right.
Most of the time, if I tape a sporting event or I tape something, that's what I do when I get home, so I only have to avoid it for a couple hours.
Dear Kevin and Bean, please give your opinion on this situation. Then we're going to go to your phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. During the NBA playoffs, I DVR'd each Laker game, whether I watched it live or not. I know, dumb superstition. This particular game, though, I had to be at a kid's birthday party. Some people were in another room watching the game, but I avoided it so I could go home and watch the entire game from beginning to end. Kevin, you've done that many times.
Yep.
End of the game comes, I play. Lightly asked my friend, please don't spoil it for me because I'm going to watch when I get home. She understood. She agreed not to spoil. Then another guest who I'd never met before came up to me and said, I won't say anything, but you're really going to like the outcome of this game.
Oh, that's people who think they're not giving it away are the worst.
They always are. I wanted to punch him in the face for being a total D-bag. I know it's a lot to ask to be completely isolated from the score of a Laker playoff game, but I think this guy went out of his way to spoil and deserved a good ass kicking. Sorry.
But that guy didn't even know the person. Look, if it's a live sporting event, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the one thing that everyone watches live.
You really can't stay away from that and just accept it and just go, well, I'm going to watch it anyway. I DVR'd it.
All right, we got time for a couple calls. Who do you like?
Let's start with Courtly. Hi, Courtly.
Hello.
What's going on?
A while back, a couple years back, I went to the movies to see Inside Man. And right before the show was going to start, ran into the restroom, used it really quickly. And while I was in there, two ladies who had just seen the movie probably 5 minutes before comes into the bathroom and starts saying, "Can you believe it? It was such a good movie. I can't believe he was inside the bank the whole time. And how did he drill this and drill that? And he stole that." And they started saying the whole plot. So after I finished using the bathroom, I went out. And I let them have it. And I just told them, "You know what? Can you at least wait to get outside the movie theater before you start talking about it? For those people who haven't seen it, I'm going in there right now." And they just gave me dirty looks, and I walked out.
That's a funny story. Let me ask you this while you're on the line. We're talking about live TV a lot, but let's talk about movies for a second. How long after a movie comes out are you not allowed to bring it up in conversation to people? Like, what's a reasonable amount of time to wait? Because not everybody goes opening weekend.
Agreed. Well, I think you ask them. You say, "Do you want me... I've seen it. Do you want me not to say anything?"
How about on social media? Like, could I tweet something about, like, I don't think I would tweet something about Looper right now.
Right.
But could I tweet something about him?
But it's been out since.
You know what? When you buy those little movie tickets, the gold passes are good for the first 2 weeks of the movie. Wait the first 2 weeks of the movie, and then everyone else will go see it.
Everyone dies in Looper.
Thanks, I haven't seen it.
Thank you for the call. Dear Kevin and me, and JD writes, "I talked to my girlfriend on the phone before going to buy tickets for The Sixth Sense, and she asked me, is that the movie where Bruce Willis is dead and he doesn't know?"
Oh, my God.
I ended up seeing the movie, did not spoil it for my friends, but the movie sucked because of that. Please fire a beer mug.
Thank you, JD. They put Rocky back in theaters at some point, and I went back to see it because it's such a great movie, the original Rocky, and I was sitting next to somebody that I didn't know, and during the end of the movie, I leaned over and I said, "He loses."
So you're that guy.
She started,
really?
Yeah, because it was just too, it was too much of a setup. It had been a couple of years since the movie came out. So, oh well. Chris, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
You're a fan of who and what happened?
You know, I wasn't a fan at all. I was just trying to watch the Super Bowl game, the first one between the Giants and the Patriots.
Okay, and what happened?
Okay, so I was at work. And, you know, I worked at a donut shop, you know, to top it off.
You're giving us a lot of information that's not central to this story.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So I was at work, and I had my TV, the radio off to avoid anything to know about the game.
And how was it spoiled?
And it was spoiled because it was a ghost town, and the very first customer after the game ended came in and said, "Woo, the Giants won." And
love it.
But, it was pretty hard.
But Chris, thank you for the call. You got to know
it's with the Super Bowl.
With the Super Bowl, there's no spoiler.
There's no such thing
as a spoiler alert.
Absolutely
that's what
not.
Everybody watches, and that's just how it works. Let's go to Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi there.
What happened to you?
I was actually at K Rock for Christmas a few years ago, and I was all happy rocking out, and I was going on Facebook to post a picture of one of my favorite bands, 311.
Right.
And I go, and the first story that pops up on my news feed was, okay, spoiler alert for all the listeners, was the season 4 of Dexter when Trinity killed Rita.
Right.
And I almost had a flipping heart attack. What? My whole night.
Oh.
I literally deleted her from Facebook friends. Like, I'm no longer friends on Facebook for that.
Yeah, I mean, she tweeted it within a few minutes of it airing.
Yes, exactly.
Uncool.
That was my other point I was texting with Nicole about, too. I was like, hey, you mentioned the fact that these people were Facebooking and tweeting about it.
Yeah.
On the West Coast feed of it, it aired.
Yeah, and that's another problem, by the way. Depending on what cable system you have, some people get a show at 10, some people get it at 7. You could easily spoil it for somebody if you get on there.
And they just want to be the first one to say something about it. That's really what it is.
They're just attention whores.
Yeah,
that's true.
Really, I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And my whole point is...
Take it easy, Katie. Settle down. So breathe and settle down.
No, my whole point about it is just something like, or Facebook something about it. But don't put the spoiler, or put spoiler alert, like Lisa was saying.
Put spoiler alert.
Or just say, "Oh my God, I can't believe Sons of Anarchy tonight. I'm so sad." Don't put names.
But don't even say "I'm so sad." That's a giveaway.
Just "I can't believe." That's all.
Yeah.
By the way, listen to the pain in her voice after years later. She's still walking around butthurt.
Thank you, Katie. Hey, by the way, I found out that Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear.
What?
At an Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, I thought you were telling us right now.
No. I'm saying I was at Acoustic Christmas the night of the fight. It was a big fight, and the, I don't know, valet or somebody that was waiting for the car, somebody said, "I can't believe he bit his ear." I was like, what? That was the worst thing ever.